You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture in today is John chapter 16, verse 23 through 27. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Very, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not unto you, that I will pray the Father unto you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Father God, we ask and your blessing of the reading of my holy word, first Christ in praying name we ask it. Amen.
Well, we're seeing lots of green these days, beautiful trees. During the winter, we're used to looking right through the skeleton of the trees in front of us and seeing way off in the distance, and now it's gone. It's all green. Can't see through them anymore, but that's okay. It's pretty. And nice flowers appearing in the garden, or what we call a garden. little animals running around the place, and Seppi was reminding me that I keep telling her, look over there, and look at, because I'm always pointing out things as I'm driving, and she insists that I should be just looking at the road in front, you know. But I'm always impressed with the birds and the squirrels and things like this. I love the squirrels. I know you're used to squirrels, but do you watch the squirrels, the way they grab a nut, and they just, it's like they're praying, you know. They're cute little things, aren't they? And I have to confess, I ran over one time coming home from work, and the squirrel came right out in the front of the road, did his little prayer, and bang. At least he went out praying. That was a bit sad. Okay, well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time that we've got together to open up the scriptures. And Lord, we thank thee for the grace of God that has appeared to us, Lord, and that we can go to bed at night knowing that we're saved, that we have a home in heaven, Lord, that there's a resurrection coming to us, not because of our goodness, but because of thy goodness and thy finished and completed work on the cross at Calvary. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, right, well, we've been looking at this Acts 29 business, and there's a lot of fruit coming out of this. For me personally, and what I have been doing is going through some of the books that I've read about this, and I'm going to amass a whole lot of evidence for what I'm saying by answering carefully, taking the good things that others have said about Acts 28 and showing where there's been a little slip in the logic. And I'll show you this. Once I've amassed and put it all together, I'll get a good slide series going on. But last time we were talking about the fact that, you know, we have this ministry online where we're able to reach people. A lot of people now are beginning to see that there are some issues to do with Right Division. And the fact is that truth is so important to all of us. And the liberty that we get from understanding truth is so important. I talk to my students all the time about truth. We prove things from axioms, and we prove results, and we show how powerful these results are. Because of the consistency of the logic, we can be guaranteed that the result that we've got is true and right, and you can rely on it. Well, we need to do this a lot with our scriptural understanding. We need to prove all things. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. And last time we were talking about how that the apostles had some deeds that they believed were done by Jesus, and Jesus Christ himself, of course, was inspired of God. This passage here is very important. For as much as many have taken in hand, it's interesting how Luke says many. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things. And see where it says those things? that's the part which you don't really get to understand without sort of jumping a little bit into the text of this, these pragmaton, these deeds, which are most surely believed among us. There were certain deeds that were done, and they were believed. And as you go further on into Luke chapter 19, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy. Well, where it says occupy, you can see the word here, this imperative, and you see the stem that's in there, prag, and that is occupy, carry out deeds appropriate to the time. That is, there are deeds that are expected of you to do which are in conformity with the times. In other words, you don't just go ahead to the Bible and pick out any old verse, and pick out any old idea and try and implement it today. What we're trying to do is we're trying to carry out business which is appropriate to our time. And these deeds have been recorded. In fact, as you go further on, let's see if I can get this thing to work. We're going to go all over the place. Okay, we're going to stay here. So as we go through the book of Acts, we find that the book of Acts is the acts, the deeds of the apostles, the pragmaton of the works of the apostles. And those works were appropriate to those times. And those deeds carry right through to the end, which is, I think, something that really needs to be emphasized, that when you're looking at the book of Acts, it does end in a period. And those acts, those deeds that we're talking about, which were appropriate to the times, they continue right here to Acts 28:31, right to the end. And when we come to the last book of Acts, we find there's some tremendous symmetry going on. And I want to point out a few, perhaps new things, perhaps things that you've seen before, but you haven't considered them. And this interesting sort of passage here where we get the Jews in verse 23 appointing a day. They are in charge. They are seen to be in charge. They are elders. They are leaders. And they appoint a day. And what you find is that Paul is preaching and teaching. In fact, let's be a little bit more specific about what he was doing by just bearing witness to the words. This is in verse 23 of Acts 28. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's what he was doing. And lest you are in any doubt as to the nature of the kingdom of God, he carries on persuading. Oh, look at this. Look at these things that he was doing. Expounded, testified, persuading. Expounding, testifying, persuading. Expounded, testified, kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Boy, that's some teaching, isn't it? That's a marathon. Just imagine coming in here. You get here early in the morning, and we go right through to the evening. And we're going to expound, we're going to testify, and we're going to persuade. And what happens is in verse 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. There was not harmony of belief here. But there were people of the Jews, of the Jewish rank, who believed. They did. Some believed and some believed not. I expounded on this last time, but you notice it says this one word, this one chrema, which is a spoken word. It must mean in the context one idea. He spoke one idea, and this one idea, what happened was there was a dismissal of them. They came in charge. Some believed, some did not. They were dismissed after they heard this one idea. And this one idea comes from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. But what I did not point out last time is this. Now listen, this is kind of important. Hold your place here, right? And I want you to discover this for yourself. The more I look at this passage, the more I can see there's a lot going on here which we gloss over. It's massive. Look at Isaiah 6. This is where this passage comes from originally. So we're going to compare, right? We're going to take Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, and we're going to compare it with Acts 28 and verse 25, 26, and 27. We don't have to read it all. We just need to read a portion of it to get it. Now, when you go to Isaiah, in verse 11, Isaiah says, "How long? How long am I going to have to be involved with this ministry?" Which is a ministry of what? Now, look at the imperatives. Watch. There's two mentions of one imperative and then one mention of the next. Have a look at it. Verse 10 of Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 10. Look at the imperative. Make. So this is really why Isaiah is asking the question, how long? Because there's an imperative in here of doing this. He is actively involved with this, making. Isaiah was involved with making these people something, and it wasn't good. Not too hot. Not a great ministry to be involved with. How long? Why? Because of these imperatives. Make the heart of this people fat. Give them heart disease. Make them get a heart attack. Boy, that's great, man. Come over here, man. I can show you a burger joint. You just stuff yourself with this. Right? And make their ears heavy. Oh, man. Second, make. Make heart disease. Make heavy ears. Okay? Shut and shut their eyes. Oh, man. Make, and shut. All in a very bad context. You get that, right? How long? That's Isaiah's response to this ministry that he's been given, because he has to be involved with doing this to his own people. Okay. Now go across to Acts 28. Now look at this. The first thing to notice about this is when you come to seeing Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 and Acts 28, you'll notice there is a few things that are different. It says this in verse 25. In the last portion, it says, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers." Now notice how he makes this address. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand." Whoa! What's missing? Do you see something missing here? I mean, just look at it. It says, okay, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear. But that's not quite what was said in Isaiah, right? There was the imperative of make twice, right? Look at it. He says, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Make, shut. But here, there is like a statement. Okay, you go, and what happens in verse 26? Go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. It's like a declaration of what is. It's not a declaration of I'm going to do this, right? This is like a statement of what is. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm beginning to see. So what's going on here is not in the lead up, see, in the lead up to this passage, Paul is not damning these people, right? He's not having an all-day conference trying to put this, I'm going to make them have a heart attack, man. That's not what he's trying to do, surely. In Acts 28, Paul is not bringing these Jews together and then saying, well, I'm going to spend a whole day trying to damn you people. Quite the opposite, right? He is doing what? Look what he says. He says, expounding, testifying, persuading. That is not a ministry like Isaiah had. Would you agree? Am I getting stuff mixed up here? No, that's not what he's doing, right? He is trying to persuade them, and I would say, honestly, and completely from the scriptures, trying to bring them to the knowledge of who Christ is in relationship to the promises that were given in the prophets and Moses, right? That's what he's trying to do. And when he quotes from Isaiah, it's not a quote. It's like, well spake the Holy Ghost unto our fathers, like a message which he is bringing forward now concerning a declaration of the state of Israel. After going through all the book of Acts, what's the state of Israel? Well, this is the state of them. This is how their ears are. This is how their heart is. And so, like down in verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. See, notice? The emphasis now is on the responsibility of Israel. And the idea that the minister is somehow hardening them and is making them this way is not there. It's gone. All we see is a declaration of their state, right, and their responsibility for what they're in, right? Their responsibility. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Yeah, so it's honest, right? They closed their eyes, they did it, but I would have actually healed them. I would have done all these things, but they are responsible for their actions. See, notice that. That's very important to see. Okay, so that's really cool. And then on the other side of it, where it says in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Well, the obvious implication here is that the salvation of God was sent to the Jews, and now that same salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. They will hear it. They will hear it. Okay? And then it says in verse 29, and when he had said these words, and actually says these things, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Great reasoning. And it says in verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now look what it says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now I did this just for fun. I looked at this phrase, the kingdom of God, right? In the book of Acts. How many times do you think it's there? The kingdom of God. Well, if you just look for the kingdom, it's a different number. But if you look exactly for this expression, the kingdom of God, it appears. And the 7th time, right here. Right? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because 7 is related to completion. To a completion. But the completion comes in verse 31. Right? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So, today, all right, what am I doing? Well, this was my model. Now I'm working on adjusting it, right? I'm adjusting it. I want the truth. So what I've got here is a work in progress. It's not the final issue, but we're getting there, right? When Paul says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me unto you. When he starts talking like that, Well, I ask this question. I, Paul, the prisoner, which imprisonment? Right? Which I really didn't ask before. I didn't really ask that. I assumed. Acts 28. I assumed that. But as we can see, things are not quite what they look like they could be. And we're re-looking at this. There were other imprisonments. So here, salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles, Acts 28:28. That's right on the money. No problem there. But when it says the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, the only thing that changes is the audience. Right? Jews, then Gentiles. The audience changes. Salvation of God, same. Right? That's the first thing to notice. So there is this ministry. Now, John's a problem for most students of the Bible. It really is. It's a problem. What are you doing with John? John is different from the other Gospels. What do we do with John? But John 1:11 says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, I tend to agree with Welsh on this. I think that lines up very closely with Acts 28:28. I think it does. He came to his own, and his own received him not. John's gospel starts at Acts 28:28. That's where it begins. So I see in here a new ministry that's separate and different. Well, I'm not going to try and do two things at once because I'm not a woman. So I'm going to admit that I can't do that. And I'm just going to do this first, right? And then we'll come back to this possible area which we need to look at more closely. So let's come down here and we'll just look at what's going on with Paul. All right. What was the nature of Paul's ministry leading up to Acts 28? Well, he had a ministry where it was a heavenly ministry, but it wasn't a super heavenly ministry. It was a ministry which related to the New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, he said to the Galatians. The mother of us all. And he said, okay, and if you be Abraham's seed, then you are heirs according to the promise. So, during this time, right, and the lead up to the book of Acts, and so here's Acts, and I'm continuing here, okay, so he's continuing this ministry, which was a heavenly ministry, which related to the New Jerusalem. So it continued, right? And it certainly continued, in my understanding, to the period, and that's the period there. Acts 28:31, period. It certainly got to there. Then I label what happened after that as Acts 29, because I don't know anything better to call it, right? So I'm calling it Acts 29. At some stage in here, there was the revelation of the mystery given. Well, we don't know when right now. We just know it's after then. Okay, after Acts 28:31. And why do I say it has to be after that? Because it says in verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God. And I have no reason to change that kingdom of God from what we believe just eight verses back up. I see no reason to change that. Okay, so we've got that. Some stage the mystery is given. And then, of course, what we have is a different teaching. Those people who were a part of the body of Christ, who had manifestation of the signs and wonders and had this heavenly hope, they now had to be adjusted. They needed to come into the knowledge of the one body. Right? They needed that. And so, in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about the fact that he raised up, or not he himself, but God did, and Paul talks about it, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And these had the special function of witnessing to these people who had all these new covenant hope and stuff to do with the New Jerusalem, this hope that related to Abraham and his seed. So that was going on. At the same time, of course, there was much teaching that's applicable and is ours today. But not all of it. Because there was a specific ministry that was given to apostles and prophets. Where are they? You see any apostles and prophets around today? I don't. Right? And I don't because they had a specific function in relationship to bringing people into the knowledge of the one body, new hope. Okay, cool. So we've got that going on. Now, in chapter 28, verse 31, it says this. Look at this. This is cool. So far, there's a whole lot of coolness coming out of this. Verse 31 says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the full name, Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence. And then it says, no man forbidding him. No man forbidding him comes from this akolutos. And that comes from this verb koluo, which means to hinder. Without any hindering. No hindering to this message. Now, okay, we can see this in terms of the fact that the Jews had been dismissed. They're out of the picture. They're not going to hinder any clarity in the preaching of this tremendous hope that relates to the New Jerusalem and this heavenly calling. But just look at this with me. Go across to John chapter 16. And I want you to just think of another way in which we can see this. John 16 talks about some interesting ideas about Jesus and his departure and return. Verse 17, John 16, 17, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. You know, one thing we want is great plainness, isn't it? We need plainness in our understanding of the Scripture. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me? And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily. What does verily mean? It means truly. Truly, truly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's a great thing, isn't it? It's a great idea in itself that, you know, pain is here, but there's joy coming. And for us who know the Lord, the resurrection is ours, by promise. A woman, when she is in travail, now look at this, Mother's Day, right? We got mothers, which means that, of course, our mothers went through some travail. And man, that's something to behold, isn't it not? I won't go into detail, but with the coming of Reuben, the surgeon, because we had a C-section, invited me into the actual room where they carried out the whole process. And I thought to myself, oh, well, this will be interesting. But you know, I was turned into a wreck emotionally, you know, when I saw the little baby coming out, you know. And the surgeon was, man, he knew exactly what he was doing. Everything about the whole operation was just done amazingly, accurately. And he was not satisfied with some things that the nurses said, no, you have to do that again. Everything had to be right. And out comes this hot little baby. And he knew how to lever the baby out, so go just one shoulder and then the other shoulder, and out it come, and you could see the steam coming off the baby, and no sound, not a sound, and then the umbilical cord was cut, and then and cry, and forever I was a different man. It was just an amazing thing to see your child come out like that, and the cry. But here in verse 21, it says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. She forgets it just as well. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Wasn't that amazing? This must be under the control of the Spirit of God. Any request would have to be correct. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you. Now look at this. This is the part. These things have I spoken you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Plainly. Now go back to Acts 28 and see if you can see the point that I'm trying to bring to you here. The object is that in the Lord's ministry, there was times when he used proverbs, and he did it in order to blind. He would not speak plainly. He did it to blind. Okay, it's part of that Isaiah thing. Now, when you look at Acts 28, as I say, the key thing to see is that makes, not there. Rather, a declaration of how things are. And you have this all-day conference where he is persuading and he's testifying. He's doing all these things. He is not blinding. He's not blinding, right? And coming down here in verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbid. Plainly, it's all out in the open and it's plain. There is nothing in here about a ministry of trying to blind and make the heart heavy. It's not there. Right? It's definitely not there. It's a clear ministry. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that what you have after this period is a clear teaching of the salvation of God in terms of promises given to the nation of Israel about a heavenly hope. But that heavenly hope was interrupted by a fresh revelation sometime in this so-called Acts 29. Okay, well, that's me for today. Let us pray. God and Father, we thank thee for this time and for the ministry that's here. We see so many connections, and Lord, we ask for understanding. Pray for the mothers, Lord, that you'd bless them. We thank thee for them, and for their love and the example they've given us and the great love that they've shown to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.